Well, we're gonna look at, let's start in verse 21 of Acts 19. We're looking at both Erastus and Gaius at the same time. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that had ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. In the same time there arose no small stir about the way, about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, bought no small gain unto the craftsmen. We studied that part. Okay, go to, we just mentioned Erastus. And we'll see more about him in a second. So let's go to Acts 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone, you understand, you know what Macedonia is, right? It's the northern part of Greece. It's right now the northern part of Greece and part of, what's the other country up there? One of the Balkan countries. Anyway. And when he had gone over these parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode there 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria, and he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy of Asia. And so, then one more place, 1 Corinthians 1.
Verse 10.
And I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren,
by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius.
Lest any of you,
and he should say that I baptized in my own name. So Gaius was all over. He was in Acts, and he was in Corinthians, and he was in Timothy, and 3 John. Eventually he was appointed a bishop. We're not sure where he was when he was appointed bishop, but he was appointed bishop by John. And then go back to Romans 16. Gaius, mine host of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, a brother. And we saw Erastus in Acts 19. The chamberlain just means he was the treasurer of the city. And let's look in one more place in 2 Timothy 4:20. Well, it just says in verse 19, salute Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Erastus is one. He stayed at Corinth. I guess probably he was ended up being a bishop of Corinth. But anyway, you've seen how many of these different named disciples were with Paul at several different locations. And it was necessary for that because Paul had this disease called ophthalmia, and he may have had it in both eyes, but we know he had it in one eye, and it's this real ugly disease. That's why it constantly oozes, and it's swelling, and it's all red. It's an infection that nobody knew about how to deal with back then. And so that caused his blindness. And so he was almost totally blind by the end. And that's why he constantly had somebody write the letters for him, and he obviously had to have someone or more than someone with him
as he went to all these churches. And it included all these guys
that he just studied. All right? So these guys were important, but some of them were of the 70 that they sent. So they were Jews from different parts of the world that were in Jerusalem and when Jesus sent out the 70. And so this next guy was too. And finally, Quartus, a brother. Quartus was a Jewish believer, probably originally from Rome. Quartus is his Roman name. We don't know what his Jewish name is. He is mentioned as one of the 70 in Luke 10. And he became the bishop. Eventually, he became the bishop of what's now Beirut. It was, at that time, it was called Berylus. So we get, hopefully, you get a little bit of understanding of a couple of things. One is the length of time that the disciples stayed with each place. And then periodically, they'd go back and visit him. But initially, he was always with them for 2 or 3 years. And then he'd come back and visit them for divisions or whatever. And it was this whole thing that he not only was, it was, he also brought with him these named disciples that we just talked about. That it was not only, his life wasn't only tested by the people that he stayed with or that he was ministering to or being an evangelist to, but it was also tested by all these guys. And so there couldn't be any inconsistency. His life had to have the fruit of the life of Christ in him, and you don't have the opportunity to hide as we do now. You go to church and you rarely really know anybody, and there's no vulnerability to the body. There may be vulnerability to one or two people, and it's just a different kind of Christianity today than it was back then. And I am convinced, as you know, that we need to go try to bring back to life that kind of a relationship. And we didn't start out this way. We didn't know what the heck we're doing. But it was just necessity that we ended up being like we are with the house church and numbers of people and all that. We got there too many people for. And so back in 87 or 88, we split. And without us knowing it, we ended up we didn't try to duplicate it, but it ended up being organic instead of trying to follow a form. The only thing I knew from the very beginning is there had to be vulnerability. And the idea of living each day and as if it's we were on the judgment seat, and the religion that you're going on external has nothing to do with what God sees. He sees only what's going on inwardly. And so I hope that this kind of review of all these named people helps you understand all of it.
Yeah.
All right. John?
It would help me understand it if they were all removed. Because I've never paid any attention to them. They're all just abstract names is all they are to me. But if they were removed, something would be completely different about the whole story. It would all be just Paul's experience without, like you said, being tested among brethren.
We wouldn't have the Bible.
It wouldn't be. Yeah, so take it away and you go, wow, totally missing. And now, but this fleshes it out.
Without Phoebe, you remember, we wouldn't have the Book of Romans. And the Book of Romans is the penultimate summary of the theology of Christology, if you will, of the cross.
Yeah. And Paul was diligent to give them.
Oh, yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah, what if we didn't have Eunice?
No, the whole bunch of them. May not even exist, but it certainly would have been different without all these people.
Yeah.
And their faithfulness is hard to believe because,
you know, much of this time to be a Christian was a death sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, when they're filling up stadiums for Christians for sport, says you believe.
They did that not just in Rome, they did it all over the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Did you any of you ever read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs?
No.
It goes through much of these people and the martyrdom of all of these early Christians. And it's pretty intense.
Woodcuts didn't leave much to the imagination.
What?
Woodcuts that they used in some of the illustrations didn't leave much to the imagination.
Well, and then even Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was tortured, and then finally he was laid out with a saw and cut in half from his crotch up. And it said that he kept prophesying to them about the mystery of God until the saw reached his vocal cords. And all he had to do was, because of all of the prophets, Isaiah is the one that saw Christ most clearly. And you know, it's amazing to me. All right, then, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The only thing that's important here, what we haven't studied, there's a couple things. One is here the word Lord is Kyros, the possessor. And then when we go down to the word God in verse 27, we'll get there.
It's Theos. Theos is almost a philosophical concept. It has to have the idea of one God.
Remember the saying that the Jews read, the Lord our God is one.
Before every reading, they read that. What do you call it?
I forgot.
Shema.
Shema. And it is... The essence of it is, behold, the Lord our God is one. We can't understand how God can be one and yet there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, there can't be two. You know, not much of modern Christianity, there's two. There's God and Satan. and so once that happens, then the two reproduce rapidly, and so you end up with a jillion other gods, and pretty soon you're like in India where there's 5 million named gods. I mean, that's hard to conceive of, but it's not much different than America. All of the things that you place importance on, that you give breath to, are for you a god, whether it's family or raising children or free enterprise or democratic system or you know, all of those things. And so we probably, if we analyzed America, we probably have equally 5 million named gods. And it's because the belief in one God is critical, because if you have more than one, then they reproduce. All right? What?
Yeah.
All right.
I was just thinking it's kind of positional that people will put Satan on the same level with God, when in fact it's, you know, to make one, he's over all, including Satan.
I know, but if he was overall, then we wouldn't have these so-called battles. I mean, if you turn on religious television, every one of them, you have a battle. Satan is, we're going to overcome, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right. With you all is meta, word in Greek, it's metapos, and it's this great word. It's with you individually and with you collectively. All right, now to him in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the beginning of the world, since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory. Through Jesus Christ forever, amen. We're going to spend some time on this summary, 25 through 27, maybe a couple days, because there is so much of the mystery hidden in these words. It's to him that is of power is de dynamai, which means he who has the inherent tested ability. In other words, you never have to doubt that his efficacy is complete. You remember when I spent all those years studying the offerings, and when it says by one offering you have been perfected forever, past tense, and in that one offering he met every possible condition that the human can be in, and therefore you have been perfected by that one offering. That's huge. But nobody believes it, because you're always running around gadding about to change yourself over something. What's going on?
Visitor, our favorite friends are
off. So him who has the inherent ability, establish, is sterizo, which means to set firmly, to make stable, to render constant. And that's the critical issue. To render constant. To establish you, to render constant, so that you don't go through these periods of up and down and up and down, and it's only periodically you go visit the mercy seat. It's you stay on the mercy seat. You're not carried about like a cork on a wave with every wind and wave of doctrine, and every little emotion and feeling. And some of you really need to understand this, because, you know, you get affected by every little thing. Amen? What?
Well, this this gospel of Christ in you and us coming to this morning meeting, we sit here and we talk, and when this word is spoken and it rings true, something takes place physically inside. It's the response is amen, but it's like a bell ringing or an emotional explosion, or it's a confirmation of the Spirit and the life that really is there. It's not just we're talking about intellectual information. And while you were talking a second ago, that just happens. I mean, it happens all the time in here, but it was just brought to my consciousness how powerful it is day after day to be reminded, but not here.
Yeah.
And it's palpable, it's real, it's...
Yeah, the only thing Paul wanted you to follow about him was his faith. And I pray that I would even approach his faith, and that would be the only thing you'd follow about me, not about anything else. And, I mean, that's the role of whoever's in a teacher position. And so, and also this thing about consistency. That's what Harry, it turns out, Harry did, you know, I wouldn't let anybody,
remember for years, I wouldn't let anybody tape
or record any of the Bible studies. And then Harry finally convinced me because he said, somebody's going to kill you or something like that. But it really, what he was doing is every day he edited for until there was over 2,000 tapes done. And every day he edited. And what he was really doing, he was looking for inconsistency.
Trying to catch you.
He was trying to catch me all those years. And that's good.
Yeah, it's like study to show yourself approved.
Like the brains.
Yeah, except he didn't do it by the scriptures. He just wanted to find an inconsistency in something I said.
It's almost good.
He never did. God, I miss him. Anyway, that's enough for today. We'll finish this other last few verses hopefully tomorrow. And then we'll do something else. We're not going to sit around and have a prayer meeting, though. That's not
that's
the purpose.
That's just for sure. We're just for sure about that, right? So I won't worry about it.
Well, who knows what will happen. But it won't be only that, because that can't be translated, and we got people out there depending on it.
Oh, I understand. It seemed like there was, at the time, it seemed like we had like lots of needs, and so that just seemed like a solution to it.
All righty. Anybody else have any response?
I want to say something.
Hmm?
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
I think it's I'm not saying this was happening, but I think it's easy to romanticize martyrdom and think of it as something of the past. But it's not, I mean, that's why I'm not going to India, because they're killing Christians in the state where I work.
Amen.
Today. And I look the part, so.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't give you a visa.
So you don't want to be a martyr?
If they would.
No, that's why I'm not going.
Well, nobody wants to be a martyr.
Somebody's already done
that. Huh?
A lot of guys have already done that. So.
Yeah, but if you want to be a martyr, then you won't be. You'll just be an idiot. If you think you're a disciple, you're probably not. If you think you're helping somebody, you're for sure not.
If you want to teach, you shouldn't.
If you want to teach, you shouldn't. Amen? No, it has to be until it's burning in you and you can't do anything else. All righty, take it big guy.